Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Steve Rivera, and welcome to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 KVOI. Welcome to Friday afternoon. Good week of shows, a great week of shows, if I don't have to say so myself. Today's should be a very good one. I have in studio a couple of cool guys, former U of A basketball players in the first hour, and sitting next to me is Reggie Geary from the mid-90s. It's funny, I put that on Twitter today and Facebook. I'm thinking, should I put that? Because it kind of dates you, doesn't it?
I mean, a little bit. I'm holding up well for my age.
You are, actually. Damn you, I hate you. Yeah, you do look good for your, you're about 40.
But it was a minute ago now.
Yeah. How do you feel? You feel still in shape and stuff?
Yeah, most days.
You don't get out of bed, oh, God. Oh,
nah, I mean, I have my old, I'm an old basketball player, so I got some knees and some of the cracks, fortunately, I've been in basketball 20 plus years.
Right.
So I'm on the court a lot and with my son a lot.
In fact, how long has it been since you've coached? Like 2-3 years?
No, just my second year.
Second year. Did you get on the court with the guys?
Did you run
with them, or did you just
as much as I could? Not as much as I could, but I definitely got out there with them.
Yeah, I want to get this out of context. You were in Japan coaching.
Yep. I was in Japan 6 years.
How was that being out there with the young guys?
Everybody knows as you get older, you don't move as fast, but you're a little more knowledgeable, more efficient with your movements.
Right.
And so
you become more clever.
You have to be. Yeah. You have to be. And every now and then you have a little bit of a flashback. You have a little bit of a moment.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I remember how that felt. So it's like
a golf swing, isn't it? Like you get a good golf swing. Oh, I can do this.
You know?
And the next one is horrible.
Exactly. It's like in golf, I can only do that like, three times around, but in basketball, I still can do that a little bit more.
Well, you know me, we golfed 4 or 5 months together, and I'm thinking, I hate this game. God, I hate this game. I had maybe two good shots. My putts were okay, but swinging that club, oh, no way.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. So we're going to have Reggie here for the first hour, and in the second hour, legendary Bob Elliott is coming in. We'll talk about a lot of different things. While I have Reggie in, we'll kind of talk about the UA basketball team. We'll talk about his career. We'll talk about what he plans in the future in terms of coaching, getting back on the court, maybe having to run with the guys again, staying in shape, and just maybe what he has going on with projects. You had a chance to look at the basketball team the last game?
Yeah.
Wait. Let's go this here first. Wasn't to me, and I said this on Twitter on somebody else's feed, to me that was the strangest game and probably the worst game I've seen between Stanford and Arizona in 25 years, only in that there was nobody in the building. It was boring as all hell. And back in the day when you played and since or before all that, the rivalry was huge. It was boring.
Yeah, no, that was the first thing people that watched the game and I talked to later were like, they just couldn't believe how empty the arena was.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing what you said, all those historic matchups and games where Arizona and Stanford, that place is usually rocking.
You were there, Damon's 44-point game. You had to be because he's older than you, right?
Yeah.
And it was I don't know if it was overtime, but he had 44 points, too shy of the record. You guys had to come from way back, and you guys beat him there?
Yeah. I mean, that place was electric.
Rocked.
You know, you got performances like that. And to see it half full, and it was an interesting game. It really, it kind of, we always talk about these cliches, tale of two halves. But it was like the tale of two tempos. Came out really fast, and you thought, okay, it's going to, it was sloppy, but at the same time, we're going to get up and down. And then, it became this mid-tempo zone, kind of deflating energy thing where I think everybody got that feel like that was kind of funky.
How the foul calls were horrible too. I'm not saying they were bad calls, but the tempo and the pace was stilted because of those fouls.
Yeah, definitely. Arizona came out with a lot of energy. Mm-hmm. They played that smaller lineup to start with and were really flying around. Going back and looking at some of the fouls or just thinking about it, we were, both teams were fouling. There were some bad calls
in there.
But at the same time, both guys are fouling. And, we have to do a better job, when I say we, Arizona, of defending with that high energy, still playing that style of basketball without fouling.
How difficult it is, because you've done this for a number of years as a coach, when you get refs like that, I'm not saying they're bad or good, but they call a lot of fouls and it changes the game the way you've kind of planned for the game, or does it?
It depends what kind of coach you are. If that's my style, mm-hmm. and I'm encouraging that, then that's how I play,
Which, what do you mean in terms?
In terms of doubling, like I'm aggressive.
Okay.
We're going to go out there, and yeah, the referees are going to.
You're
going to
live with it.
I'll live with it to a degree. We'll discuss it. Hey, they tightened it up, but I don't want to now come off the pedal.
Mm-hmm.
But once again, Sean's got to coach his team. He has limited, bigs.
Right.
So when Jeter gets in foul trouble and he goes to Ira Brown got in foul trouble, now he has to be ultra conservative,
right,
kind of with his resources. So it really depends on what you have, but my style, I like to err on the side of aggression.
Yeah, he's very limited because if Jeter gets in trouble and he has a time or two already, Ira Lee's going to get in trouble no matter what. He's like a bull in a china shop. And then after that, you're going small because you have nobody left.
Exactly, and that's the problem.
Yeah.
You know, I think it goes without saying, everyone knows kind of the game plan. Attack Jeter.
Right.
Why? He'll eventually get in foul trouble. He'll take one charge and get one block.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to play out over time to benefit the opponent, potentially. So it's definitely attack him, get him off the floor, and now you have a different team.
Steve, it seems to me like there is at least one silver lining
to
that game. That might have been Ira Lee's best game so far.
Oh, yeah, Tom. That's Tom, my producer. He's in for Bob. Good to hear from you, Tom. No, I agree with you because up until that point, people were saying, where's Ira Lee and what are you doing, Ira Lee?
Yeah.
Because he was kind of like he picked up three quick fouls. He's kind of fumbling the ball around, and all of a sudden he was the star of the show.
Yeah, had a big finish down there towards the end. I really wedged in there and got it within his range. And that's
right.
The big thing with him is that, yeah, he's trying to grow as a player, but at mm-hmm. times he has to figure out what he does well and what he doesn't do well and try to play to his strength. And he doesn't always do that. But he did a great job of that to finish the game. I think he finished with the last 4 or 6 points for the Cats and really was a
right.
difference maker at that last minute.
Thank you, Tom. This is the Tom Show.
No.
Anytime, Tom. Jump in, man.
Jump
that was
right,
awesome.
Jump right in. That was a great point. Because it was. And I mean, for the first half, you're thinking, Ira Lee's more of a hindrance than a help. And then in turn around in the second half, he was a huge help because they survived the Jeter situation because he had fouled out. And he was the guy that gave him some energy. He's always going to give him energy.
Always.
You know, and you need that guy. You were one of those guys that brought the team energy on the defensive end, spark stuff like that, because that's where it happens.
Most definitely. And if you want to get up and down, you know, you need guys to come off the bench and guys to start games, in all honesty, with that energy. Arizona did that initially. The foul trouble took them out of it. But if they could do that over a long period of time, they have something.
You observe these games better than most. And let me tell you, the one thing that I've noticed in the last year, not last year, but there are a few dunks, breakaway dunks. And Sean doesn't play that well that way. Lute, that's what it was. I can remember, you know, Bennett Davison, Michael Dickerson running through the lane and just kind of alley-oops from Mike Bibby. You guys, when you played, you were on the ropes dunking guys on the fast break. It was common.
Yeah.
Common. Maybe, you know, in five transition moves, two of them were fast break dunks and kind of electrified the stadium.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen very often anymore.
It doesn't. And that's kind of one of the things that I think all of us, especially myself, would love to see them do more of.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to keep in mind, you know, a lot of times when Arizona plays basketball, you hear about Sean Miller's defense is what? Pack line.
Yeah.
Pack line defense is not an aggressive posture. Pack line defense is packing it in, mm-hmm. playing the percentages. You know, we'll get in the steal on occasion. And which is fine, and it has its place. But for me, when you have the athletes, the length, the foot speed, which this team does
have,
I think we can press up into
lanes,
get into ball handlers to create those opportunities. This team struggles to score.
Yeah.
That being the case, you have to get more of your scoring in the first third of the shot clock. And I know shot clock's not a college thing,
sure,
but you want to score in those first 6 to 8 to 10 seconds, and we don't take advantage of that. And you can, even versus zone, what you can do.
Right. No, they don't. He had said that they were going to try, well, he says this every year, that they were going to try to maybe up tempo it a little bit more. We're kind of expecting it. They have. When you're like a 3 to a 4, I guess it's hard to notice.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just not. It's not his identity.
No,
it's not what he does. So yeah, you'll get it in spots.
Mm-hmm.
But when Coach Olson was here, that was his identity. That was his philosophy, and we were able to take advantage of that.
And you guys were great with it. You know, before my time, which it was with Sean, Kenny Lofton, those guys would just get in the back and just you know, you, Bennett Davison. Back in your day, AJ would kind of sneak through. Who else was on that roster? Corey would sometimes. Ray Owens was not that guy, but he would, you know, give you that 12-foot jumper.
No, Ray was too cool.
Yeah,
he was our cool guy.
Give you the
real smooth
12-foot jumper. JB was good around the rim. He was not that much of a dunker.
JB would argue with that, but he was a big body back in the day. It's, you know, 200 whatever pounds. He still could run the floor and really get out there.
That I agree. But he was never like one of those, you know, crazy, you know, slamming home and you know, crazy dunkers.
Nah.
He was consistent around the basket. He'd dunk, but You know, he wasn't one of those high flying guys.
No, he wasn't like me.
Yeah. Not that JV. No. Let me tell you something. I'm going to bring something up, and maybe you remember this, maybe you don't. But UTEP, and I don't know if I've told you this before. UTEP at Haskins Arena, we were there in '93, '94, whatever it was. You flew from the free throw line to have a dunk. I think it was the free throw line through the dunk. You got hurt in that game. I think you hurt an ankle or something.
I did.
I do remember the dunk very well because Reggie, what are you doing? Bam! And you had it slammed from the free throw line. I'm thinking, holy moly. We knew you were athletic, but, you know, holy moly from the free throw line. Yeah, do you remember that?
Yeah, no, I do remember that one. You know,
I can't remember what I had for lunch, but I remember that.
Yeah, no,
was that a Dr. J dunk or a Michael Jordan?
It was probably 10 feet out, but I like how over time I've got further and further from the rim. I appreciate. That's why I do the show with Steve because
you got
that.
Better. Yeah, you got
I
better,
get better
and more athletic.
Exactly, yeah. But yeah, no, those Don Haskett teams back going to UTEP. I mean, once again, just great time to be a basketball player.
Yeah,
and fan.
And your time there. We talked about this. You know, what would you change different? Let's not go there again. Because you talked about shooting more, but you did exactly what you were known for: play defense, create havoc, cause problems to opponents, and you did that for 4 years.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of came in. I came in at high school, and I came in high school at a Monterey High School, kind of the all around guy, mm-hmm. and I averaged a triple double my senior year in high school. Mm-hmm. So I was already getting assists, getting the rebounds, but I wasn't scoring 30. I was only scoring 18.
Right. Where are those baskets coming from in high school?
Mostly. Getting steals, getting into the half court. I was a slasher.
Layups.
Yeah, I'm getting to the rim. I mm-hmm. mean, I have a 46
sure.
vertical,
right.
Which is not the best thing being a shooter. Being a consistent shooter is being
right.
a high jumper,
right.
which I think there's some credence to that. But having said that, you know, I always come in as an all-around guy as is. So once I saw that Coach Olson liked me for that, embraced me for that,
yeah.
that we were already kind of surrounded by guys who could put the ball in the bucket. I embraced that role, and it took me all the way to the NBA.
George Audius was in the building 2-3 days ago, and he talked about this being offensive, and I had this line where offensive players drive Cadillacs, defensive players don't. Do you still think that holds? Because everyone loves a scorer, and defenders are great to have, but in today's game, are defenders valued that much?
No, they totally are. They totally are. But you have to be able to be, they call it a 3-and-D guy,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I was just kind of, that really wasn't being spoken when I was playing. It was kind of like that generation just right after me. Bruce Bowen, what a great example with San Antonio.
Shoot
Spurs.
The three.
They're saying, hey, you can be this high-end defender. You can be this smart, Marcus Smart,
mm-hmm.
With the ball, this yeah. high-end defender. You can guard everybody on the floor, multiple positions. But at the same time, if you can shoot that three,
mm-hmm.
there's really a place for you. And that's something I actually could do. That's something I could do, but I think there is a place for that defender. He just has to have the ability to keep defenses honest with a three-point shot.
Yeah. Hey, let's go to break right now, and then we'll come back. We'll take a call. We have a call on the line, and we'll talk more about the good old days of the mid-'90s basketball.
The Tucson Symphony Orchestra is proud to present Kristen Chenoweth. Don't miss this Tony, Emmy, and People's Choice Award winner as she performs music spanning her Broadway, film, and television careers. From Wicked and You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown, to her featured roles in television's Glee and Pushing Daisies, Kristen Chenoweth's amazing operatic voice and seductive charm have enthralled audiences on stage and screen alike. The New York Daily News calls it a whole lot of wonderful, just like Chenoweth. Reserve your tickets now for this one-night-only event. Kristen Chenoweth, in concert with the Tucson Symphony Orchestra. Thursday, January 17th at 7:30 in the Tucson Music Hall. Brought to you in partnership with the Tucson Desert Song Festival. Tickets at 882-8585 or tucsonsymphony.org.
Hey, Julie, thanks for coming over.
Aw, thanks for inviting me. It's so great to see you.
You too.
I love what you've done with the place. Where did you get these shades? They're amazing.
Aren't they fabulous? We got them from Budget Blinds. And the best part, ta-da!
Oh my gosh, they're motorized. How convenient.
Yep, and I can adjust them all with the touch of a button. I made my husband's day.
You made mine, too. Can I have Budget Blinds' number?
Call locally owned Budget Blinds in Tucson at 790-6180.
Budget Blinds. Miracles occur every day for sick children in our community.
I have chronic granulomatous disease, which is an immune deficiency disease.
A brain tumor.
But they need your help to keep those miracles happening.
Leukemia.
Hi, I'm Freddie. Support courageous children battling life-threatening illness and become a miracle maker today. Learn more and donate at cmnhospitals.org.
Thank you.
Your source for prep sports in Arizona. Beyond the box score. Behind the headlines. Arizona Sports Preps 365 on arizonasports.com.
This is Arizona Sports Preps 365, covering everything under the Arizona high school sun. As we bounce around the state, we do it every single week.
Arizona Sports Prep 365, Saturday afternoon, 4 to 6 on KVOI, The Voice.
Trusted local news and talk. AM 1030 KVOI. We have our eye on Tucson.
Hey, welcome back. I'm Steve Rivera, and this is Eye on the Ball. I'm talking with former U of A basketball player Reggie Geary. Here we are, and we got a phone call. Guess who it is? It is Judith Blair. How are you, Judith? Good afternoon.
I'm blessed. I'm so thrilled Reggie's there. And I have a comment I'd like to make publicly.
Please.
You know, I've been involved with the program as long as he and his family for all these years, since 92. I can say that there's no player other than my son that I love more and respect more than Reggie Geary. He's been the man. Not only has he represented the university and the city of Tucson here well, but throughout the United States and internationally. I hope you get to discuss more on that. He's a great man. He's a great husband. He's a great father. And I just think the world of him.
Yeah, I agree. In fact, we were at a kind of a function before or after Christmas. Before Christmas, a charity event. He and I, and we did what would you do, Reggie? Some strolling down the runway.
A little fashion show.
Yeah. God knows anybody doesn't need my face on a runway show. But it was a lot of fun. They raised some money, and we had a good time afterwards.
Well, Judah, first of all, thank you for those kind words. You know how much I love you and appreciate you and your family. And I hope you're well. Happy New Year to you.
Likewise. You know, one of my favorite pictures of all the Wildcat pictures is the embrace of you and Joseph. I think was it after the regionals in L.A. when you jumped and embraced? You remember that one?
Yeah, I do. I do in the sports arena there.
It was joy personified of victory. And I'll just never forget, and that's one that I so cherish.
It was a big win. They beat the Missouri to get to the Final Four. I think it was Missouri.
Right, and they had beat Louisville before that.
Yeah, beat Louisville before that.
Their center was so well known, and I had relatives in Louisville, and that was such a blessing to beat Louisville at that point.
Right. Yeah. No, it was a great weekend.
It really was.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
It was. The second reason I was calling was to promote women tonight. The U of A women's basketball play at 7 o'clock tonight and noon Sunday. Please come and support them. They're doing a great job.
They are doing a great job.
And Judith, maybe you can help me with this. I heard there was going to be a diabetes promotion tonight for
exactly.
Type 1 diabetes. And first of all, I encourage, like Judith is, to everyone, continue to support the Cats and what Coach Barnes is doing over there, and also for type 1 diabetes. I think it's great awareness, and would love to see people there.
It's so prevalent, and that whole program, they're doing really great things at each game and exciting, in addition to, springing forth with victories people never anticipated, like against ASU.
Judith, you go to a number of these games. What would be the average? What is the average attendance? Don't include what the ASU game was, because I'm kind of going to compare, because they should be more like the ASU crowds from here on out. But what is a normal?
The average has been less than 2,000.
And
that means there's 12,000 empty seats there that I'm trying to fill.
Mm-hmm.
And with cheap seats. I mean, a senior can go for $5 a ticket if they get it in advance.
Right. So if they could be somewhat like the softball team, get that consistent crowd going, get 20, maybe 35, 4,000, because that 5,000 crowd was pretty good, wasn't it?
5,006 people, and that's a launch. And I think many of those, even like the mayor who proclaimed Naismith Day on the 21st, of December. I think many of those will be returning, and he encouraged them to bring a friend when they came back.
Yeah.
And just to increase that, because I suffered gender bias. I had to sit and watch my brother and my best friends play basketball. I never had the chance to play basketball competitively.
Yeah, no, these...
And it just grieves me to see the gender bias. You know, Reggie, how well the Tucson community has supported you guys and your families, and wow, what love, open arms, open hearts. And it grieves me that the women's team is not getting the same support.
I think eventually they will, maybe not to the level of the men's basketball team, but if they continue to do what they're doing, they'll find some people coming in.
Yeah, you know, I think Adia's got them on the right path, and I know she's recruiting well. The team's being competitive now, so I think it's hopefully just a matter of time. Hopefully a matter of time.
Right.
I'm referring to them as the West Connecticut. Let me get it.
Nice.
And Coach Morgan, one of the resistant coaches, played at Connecticut. She knows the value of having support for both the women's and the men's that were both in the Final Four.
Right, right. Well, the one biggest help for that is if you win. Just win, baby. They'll start to show up.
Well, they're going to be winning far more than you anticipate. And
yes.
That's what blesses me. They're victorious not only on the court, but off the court, they're just incredible ladies.
I don't know if you were there, Reggie, over the summer when we had the Lute Olson Fantasy Camp and the girls team showed up. Remember,
yeah.
were you coaching on that side where the girls went crazy?
No, I remember they came in. Yeah,
they were pretty good.
No, they were great. They came in, brought some energy to the camp. Really lovely ladies.
Yeah,
and it was good to see them out there.
So yeah. They're playing tonight and Sunday. Who are they playing against?
Cal tonight and Stanford on Sunday.
Yeah. Sunday's game is what time?
Noon.
Okay.
Noon.
Okay.
Right,
so
right.
If
right.
anybody has a chance to go tonight, please do. And Sunday afternoon, the men played Sunday or tomorrow night, Saturday night, late into the night. So, hey, Judah, thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Oh, thank you so much. God bless you guys.
Right. Thanks for listening. Yes. Yes.
Bye-bye.
Does it seem 92? She reminds me because I remember when they were recruiting or they finally got the commitment from Joseph. She had sent me a press release back in 92. 92, that's it's 26 years. For the years, but, you know, it was 27 years since. Does it feel like 27? I've asked you this already, but you guys were just 18, 19 years old.
Yeah, we were kids then. Yeah. And it was just a great time to be in Tucson as it is today. And it was a great time to be kind of in the program. And so
just that we had her on the phone, but we talked about this a little off the air before we started the show. Back when you're 18, 19, you're coming in from California, Mater Dei. You have McLean, you have O's, you have JB, and you have, give me the fourth, besides Ben.
Oh, it was Edric Bohannon back then.
Edric, because he left.
He did.
Okay, so that group, then Ben came in later.
He did.
Tell me just first impressions of the guys back then. So you meet Joe McLean, and what do you think?
I saw Joe once before. I saw him play that year, that summer. We went to Vegas, and Joe played for ARC Mid Valley One, which was a big time team back then because Jason Kidd was the
Northern
point guard.
Cal. Uh-huh.
He was the Northern Cal team. So we had a chance to see Joe. So, and I knew him from my visit. So I knew he was a good guy, not too crazy, you know, hard worker.
Mm-hmm.
JB was kind of the funny one. We were told he was really quiet. JB's
no way.
Really quiet.
Yeah,
and
no way.
Reggie, hang out with him, and maybe you can bring something out. And then, you know, 2 seconds later, he's the life of the party.
Right, right. O's was the quiet one.
Ray was really quiet. Ray was quiet.
But a tough dude. A tough dude.
Yeah. No one messed with Ray.
Yeah.
Yeah, nobody messed with Ray.
I don't think anybody still messes with
no
Ray.
No one still doesn't mess. Yeah, you know, Ray was the man.
He's been absent from the program since he's gone. I haven't seen him at all.
Yeah, he hasn't come. You know, I know he's in Phoenix, and we hear things about him and his family and how they're growing. We know he's in Phoenix. Doesn't come back a lot, but, man, he's a brother. We totally love him.
And Edric, I know Edric stayed for a cup of coffee. He was here for a year. Mm-hmm. Pretty good player. He just didn't fit in.
Well, Edric had a really interesting kind of path. He ended up leaving here, I think, going to University of Tennessee.
Correct.
Not working out at Tennessee. I think he ended up like at Lewis and Clark.
No, it was like he went to
a small school, and we kind of lost touch. And then one day we look up, and he's on the Clippers roster.
Right. He was on right. He didn't stay very long, but
no.
he did play.
He did play, and then he kind of disappeared about as quickly as he came. But Edric was a guy, obviously, we wish he could have stayed here.
Yeah.
But, you know, seemed to find a way for himself.
Yeah, skinny, tall kid. And then Ben Davis shows up.
Yeah. You know, McDonald's All-American.
Yeah.
Kansas came with a big presence.
He didn't say much back then either.
Or
maybe not with us.
Yeah, he was, you know, he was maybe he was quiet at times, but other times, you know.
No, we can't get him quiet.
Yeah,
you know, he does the stuff with the Cavs, and what a great guy, great story. funny too. Not trying to be funny, but he's funny.
He's just a good guy, man.
Yeah, that was a good group because you guys came on. Khaled was here. Damon was here. And then you guys brought some mix to the team because you guys made it to the Final Four after two first-round losses. And then it was just that was a wild ride in 94.
Yeah, it was. I mean, I think it was just the right time, right place. You know, everything was coming together for the staff, for the town, everything.
And then we got another call. We got to go into another break because we took longer in the first break. Let's go to break and get the phone caller and then come back and talk a little about that 94 year. Thanks a bunch. Thanks, Tom.
In with the new and out with the old. Happy New Year from your friends at Pottery Fiesta on North Oracle in Catalina and Quality Pottery on South Nogales Highway. Now you can enjoy great value every day with permanent markdowns off of everything in the store, like beautiful Talavera from Mexico, high-fired glazed pots from Asia, and garden decor. Buy direct at wholesale pricing and pay no city sales tax. Visit PotteryFiesta.net or stop by Pottery Fiesta on North Oracle in Catalina. Extraordinary selection, exceptional everyday low prices.
I've survived all kinds of winters. This year's different, though. When the temperatures dip lower than my spurs, I warm up with a hearty chili bowl from Sonic. Packed with beef, veggies, and bold seasonings, it's so delicious I wrote home about it. Best letter I ever got, too. It's hearty enough to eat all on its own. I'm not crying. It's the onions. I swear.
Ride into Sonic for new hearty chili bowls. This is how you Sonic. Tax not included. See menu for details for limited time only at participating Sonic drive-ins.
Excuse me, I know you have a 9 o'clock, so I'll keep this short. I'm the business suit in the back of your closet. You wore me nearly every day before your office went, quote, casual. I used to be the CEO of your closet. Now I'm just that one intern no one ever talks to. I always thought you'd circle back with me, get granular, keep me in the pipeline. But nada, nothing. Don't you remember the McKittrick presentation? You spilled coffee on me, and I still looked amazing during the breakout talkback Q&A. So, I think it's time for me to move on. I've got a great resume, and I absolutely crush it in interviews, okay? Let's make this a clean break. Shift the paradigm. The only thing I ask is that you think outside the box here and do this. Take me to Goodwill, where I can really make a difference.
Your donations to Goodwill create new jobs, training programs, and education assistance for people in your community. To find your nearest donation center, go to goodwill.org. Donate stuff. Create jobs. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Hello, my name is Roger Staubach. I'm a Navy veteran, and I hope you tune in to the American Warrior program with my good friend Ben Bueller Garcia.
Did you know that even though Roger Staubach had an NFL contract, he volunteered to go to Vietnam? That's just one of the compelling stories you'll hear Saturdays on American Warrior Radio. Trust an NFL legend to make the right call. Tune in to American Warrior Radio Saturdays at noon right here on 1030 AM. KVOI. Over 160 other stories on demand at AmericanWarriorRadio.com.
Trusted local news and talk, AM 1030 KVOI. We have our eye on the arts.
Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball. I'm Steve Rivera, your host. I'm here with Reggie Geary, former U of A basketball player, former coach. Hey, we got a call on the line here at 790-2040. Rick, how are you? Good afternoon.
Hello, my friend. How are you?
Good. Good to hear from you. Hadn't heard from you in a while.
Well, I've been traveling and stuff, and I recognize Reggie's voice. Reggie, Rick Grinnell.
Rick, how you doing, man? Great to hear from you.
You too, brother. Man, I heard that voice, and I said, okay, we're running into an appointment. I said, wait a minute, I got to stop long enough to say hello to my friend. Nice. And just say hello. I mean, you're one of the class acts of many over there at the athletic department, but I had the privilege of knowing you a little bit more personally, and in the way you gave back to the kids in this community, I just wanted to, my grandson still remembers you, and I just wanted to acknowledge you and all the former players. I mean, this is one thing about Arizona sports. A lot of people come back to this community and give back to the kids in this community, and I just wanted to say thank you for all you and your brothers out there and sisters out there in the athletic department and what you all do. So that's really well. I called to say hello, and Steve, I might be playing poker in the next month or so, so maybe I'll catch up with you there.
Great. I need the money. I need the money, Rick. Come on in.
Oh, Rick. well, Rick, I appreciate that, man, and happy new year. It's been too long. We'll have to find a time here to get together and maybe get some FaceTime.
All right. Well, Steve's got my phone number, so you give it to him, Steve, and give me a call, Reg. And I'm in town for next 3 weeks or 4 weeks, so love to grab lunch and break bread with you, my friend.
Sounds great, Rick. Thanks,
man. Thanks for the call, Rick. Good luck. We'll talk to you
all
soon.
All right, guys.
Yeah, Rick's one of the good guys. One of the good old guys. So 94. I want to ask you this kind of question that I've never really asked you. So 94, if you remember, you went on this ride for the Final Four. Really good thing. Did you ever notice or pay attention to Lute's hate? Hate's probably too strong word. Or dissent for the media, because he was going through some things with like the morning paper, maybe one of our beat writers in the afternoon paper. Did you guys pay attention to all that stuff?
No. If there was something going on locally like that, I didn't know that was going on.
Yeah.
That was something that would probably come down to us. You know,
but you wouldn't notice that.
Because no.
In fact, right before the Final Four, it was after the win in Missouri. It was Lute getting on the media because they weren't supportive and they were, you know, these negative stories or no. He was saying, see, I can do it. I can go back to the Final Four. It was more of a prove you wrong type of thing. But you guys didn't notice
that. No, I'm not going to say we were insulated from that. We just weren't aware that was going on. We understood Coach was, you know, obviously the national media and some of the East Coast bias was always kind of doing that charge. And now looking back, you know, trying to get a high seed, trying to get the respect of the nation, like that totally made sense. But if something locally was going on, that's probably something I wouldn't get to the players.
In fact, you played Louisville, you beat Rozier, I think it was.
Mm-hmm. Clifford.
Clifford Rozier. Mm-hmm. Beat them in the Sweet 16, then you played Missouri. Booker, there was a kid
Booker
there.
Booker was on there, and Javon was a curse.
One of the sons now, isn't the son of one of the Missouri guys a pretty good player?
Oh, that's Booker.
Booker, okay.
Yeah, Devin Booker. Devin Booker for the Phoenix Suns. His father is Trevor Booker.
That's
a long-term, you know, he played in Europe, actually played with JB in Ulker out in Turkey.
Okay, yes.
So he had a great career.
See, all of a sudden, your former guys are having kids. Kids are what?
Mine are a little bit younger. My oldest boy, Quincy's 15.
15, okay.
And Wesley's 11.
Yeah, so I think Booker's like 20, 22. He's not very old.
So, yeah, I think I saw the story. He had him in college.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we're at that age now where we're starting to see, you know, and Devin Booker, obviously a tremendous player for the Phoenix Suns.
Right. Great time. How would you characterize that run you guys had?
Oh, it's a dream. You know, any time you're getting to a Final Four, you're winning a championship. Mm-hmm. Those are magical seasons because they don't happen a lot. And everything worked out. The chemistry was great. Everyone played their roles. Coach Olson was Coach Olson. U of A was U of A. Tucson was Tucson. It was just a beautiful time.
Right.
To be part of the program and to be in a Tucson.
That game, I think that game was the last time they played in a small arena. Like they did in Charlotte.
Yeah.
Smaller arena.
Yeah, NBA arena. I think that was the last time they did it.
Clinton was there.
Yeah, Clinton was there. So it took us like 3 hours getting to the arena. But it was, you know, you're in North Carolina. You know, I thought the atmosphere was great.
It was great because when they have the Final Four at places like even Phoenix, they're too watered down. I don't know if you've been to many Final Four.
Yeah, I've been about six or seven.
Yeah, and if they're in San Antonio, fantastic. Indianapolis, fantastic. Mm-hmm. When they had one at New York, it was horrible because you didn't even know it was a Final Four going on. So if they have those places like that, but San Antonio, fantastic.
Yeah.
Like I say, Indianapolis, where they can be more cozy.
Yeah, you got to have that. I mean, you got to have the ability to walk, and all the places you talk, the Riverwalk or in Indianapolis, that kind of the streets, how they're all graded like that.
Charlotte makes it nice. Was one of those places.
Yeah, but when you go to Houston or something where now you have to travel by car and you can't just kind of operate by foot, now it becomes a little more difficult.
Right.
And Minneapolis this year, which is a good town, you know, for that. You can walk. They have the kind of connecting buildings.
Yeah.
But at the same time, that weather.
It's cold.
It's cold.
Yeah.
So that'll be interesting.
Well, the last time I was there was 2001. For the Final Four in 2001 in Arizona, got there. It was freezing, snowed. It was fun. It's downtown, but it's still freezing and cold. And, you know, Tucsonans, it's cold for 55 degrees. Did you go to the Arizona Bowl?
I did not, no.
You did
I
not? Did not. And it was 55, and people were too cold to go.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah.
You know how it is. Oh, no, I got to wear a jacket.
We got the desert skin, the desert blood.
Right. So how would you characterize your entire career here?
I just thought one of... for me, looking back, just of great memories. It was a little bit of a different time in terms of kind of how we viewed college. You know, it wasn't, yeah, you wanted to get to the NBA and play professionally, but it wasn't just kind of the stepping stone that I wanted to get through as quickly as possible.
Right.
We
right,
actually
right.
could come here. We had seen individuals in front of us. Keep in mind, Chris Mills and Ed Stokes were our seniors. Chris Mills would have been a one and done nowadays.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But here he was as a mature individual. He was enjoying the college experience. So we got a chance to glean off him to see what you know, what he was doing and learn from him and kind of pass it along. So we got to settle in a little bit, which was nice, settle into the community, into the university.
Now that you're trying to, or you did coach at the college level here at Arizona and then at SMU. How discouraging is it for that, to see that, because you're now dealing with it.
Yeah.
As a coach, you know, the one and dones, do you go after them or not?
No, you definitely, you want to go after them. If that's something you can make work.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes going out and getting a bunch of one and dones and then now you have them in your house and you don't know what to do with them,
right.
That maybe not be the winning formula.
Mm-hmm.
Calipari has done that and to a degree. You mm-hmm. know, he goes to their early season, you know, kind of rumblings and then they figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
Coach K has got that nice balance of seeing the one and dones with some guys that are going to stay around for a little bit. So
Sean's
dealing with it. So you're trying to find that balance. So I definitely go after the best talent, you know, that makes sense
yep.
to your roster. At
yep.
the same time, I think on a society level, it's just very disappointing and frustrating for me as a coach to see that a kid would come into a college situation, feel he didn't make it after 6 months, and somehow now he has been going to be damaged by the experience of being
sure.
a college-educated individual going forward, you know, 2, 3, and 4 more years. And so I hate to see that, if
yeah.
anything.
Well, that's changed the most, probably.
Most definitely.
And you saw it. You saw, well, you didn't really see it because Damon was a four-year guy. He probably would not have been a one-and-done, although he was good enough to be, because, you know, 5'10".
Yeah, Damon wouldn't have gone past 2 years.
Really?
Khalid wouldn't have gone past two or three years.
Yeah.
They never would have saw their senior years.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, yeah, Damon was smaller but dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he
mm-hmm.
would have been that scoring point, which was still okay at the time.
In fact, maybe you'll disagree with me. It's okay if you do.
I want to disagree.
Say
something I can disagree to. Please, Steve.
The second best player to ever play here, Damon Stoudamire.
I mean, he's in the mix. He's right there.
Who would you throw?
I love him. I mean, I love what he did in terms of how he did it and to show that, no, it wasn't just a college thing.
Sure.
He was a rookie of the year in the NBA and
sure.
had a long career
yeah.
and very successful. So he's in that mix. You know, I don't want to go – you know, the guy. There's some
Here's
guys.
Your chance
there's,
just
no, there's some guys before, even before the Coach Olsen era, that probably.
Oh yeah,
have,
we're having one.
Have Bob Elliott was yeah. Definitely uh-huh. a guy you could have an argument with, but Damon's he's on that Mount Rushmore of U of A players for sure.
Sure. So with Sean being number one,
Sean would be number one.
Throw a couple.
No doubt about it.
Throw a couple names out there.
Steve Kerr's probably on that Mount Rushmore. He was an Olympian, or you know, it was in that USA program at the
wow.
time.
Yeah.
He was Final Four guy once again. The, you know, the proof's yeah. in the pudding. He went on to the NBA.
Yeah.
And
okay, but this is not. This is Arizona.
Yeah,
this is
Arizona as well. I know I'm forgetting some names here. I have to apologize. JT had a fantastic career. Mike Bibby, short but brilliant career.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. JT did have a good year, yeah.
JT's my
career, I mean.
Yeah, he had a great career. If you really look at it and put it all together at the end mm-hmm. of the day, it was a great
college
career.
Player of the year.
Yep. You know, Judd Bushler. I don't know if he's on Mount Rushmore, but he's
yeah.
he's quality. Brian Williams was spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
Was really a great basketball
player. But he, too,
player.
Was short. He came in later as a transfer.
Came in later with a transfer.
Mm-hmm.
But I had an opportunity to actually watch him play and just mm-hmm. to see, like, wow, this guy's on another level.
Richard Jefferson, 3 years.
Olympian, NBA Finals guy. Mm-hmm. You know, he's probably on that Mount Rushmore. But, you know, Gilbert Arenas is another great guy, but didn't have a great U of A career.
Let me throw a name at you that you may or may not like. Miles.
Miles is on there for college career, most definitely.
Yeah, this is
Miles. I apologize. Miles is on that
specific list. Specific to Arizona.
His senior wasn't great. Junior year, he was spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
Clever, you know, he's probably one of the greatest scorers. He's in that Mount Rushmore of scorers.
So all those names we threw out to you, can you give me the 3 or 4 now?
Man, that's I mean,
Bibby, Gilbert. Let's see who else. Luke. Was
Chris
on.
Mills is so underrated.
Oh, he's easily the most underrated player to play here because he was fantastic.
He was fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, right around the rim, one of the best finishers you'll ever see.
Tough guy, can shoot it.
He's in that. He might be in that top five.
Mm-hmm. You'll never get that from a voter because they didn't see him enough.
They didn't see him enough.
Yeah.
And it's a shame too. It's a shame that team lost that year to Santa
Clara.
Clara.
Yeah.
You know, we're actually 17-0 going into our last. We're about to be the first team in the history to go undefeated. That's how good this team is. Damon Stoudamire,
yeah.
Khalid Reeves, Chris Mills, Ed Stokes, Ray Oates.
Yeah.
You're talking about myself. You're talking about 8, 9 guys that played in the NBA on
yeah.
one team.
Right.
And you know, for whatever reason, it was not in the cards, and we lost to Santa Clara.
Yeah.
But, man, if that team could have got on a run
and
play, we were destined to play Michigan in Seattle that year. We were going to play Santa Clara, Temple, and then we had it wrapped up.
Mm-hmm.
If we get to a Michigan Fab Five team and Chris gets that kind of attention on that kind of stage, I think his story is a little bit different here.
Sure. No, I agree with you. It was a tough time. I do remember getting beat by Cal. I think it was the first game that what's his name coached because of the suspension to the coach. Bozeman.
Bozeman.
Todd Bozeman.
Morgan State
I think it may have been the first.
Possibly.
Because it was that year that it happened.
Okay.
But great times. Let's go to a commercial. We've always surpassed this little time slot. I have to get to a commercial because the conversation's so good.
You guys, your Mount Rushmore figureheads are all from the Lute Olson era. Are there any that you can think of so far from the Sean Miller era?
There are. T.J. McConnell, but he was kind of short-lived here. Well, because he transferred here.
Yeah.
Aaron Gordon, short, good year, but short time here. Maybe Nick Johnson a little. I mean, all fantastic players. Obviously, a lot of them in the NBA. But
know the main difference that I see?
Four-year guys?
Exactly.
And a Final Four. And
you had three
and
four-year guys back in the Lute Olson.
And a Final Four appearance.
Right.
If these young guys could come in here in 1 or 2 years and submit themselves with a Final Four appearance, they will be remembered in the light they want to be remembered in. But when you come in only for 6 months, is Derek Williams only 1 year?
Two years.
So he had that magical run his second year, which may be one of the greatest seasons for a U of A player in terms of how he shot the basketball.
I would rival that with Khalid's.
You just need that Final Four kind of to get you over the hump.
Mm-hmm. No, that's a good
point. And then the championship gets you over the next hump where now you're in that Miles.
Well, you have to include Aiden and you have to include Markkanen, but they were here for, 4 or 5 months and that's it?
Yeah.
So, Gilbert was here for two.
Yeah, just to have a great career here, but he had all the talent.
Right, right. Okay, let's go to break before they fire me.
Good question.
Hey Tucson, it's John and Cheryl Holcock with Coldwell Banker Residential Brokerage. We are so thankful for the sacrifices of our military and their families. That's why we are certified relocation specialists for USAA and Navy Federal members.
I don't know, but I've been told the Holcock team can get your home sold.
You just promoted us with a military cadence?
Ma'am, yes ma'am.
Okay, just stop.
Call 342-6586 to get the best of your home picks.
Company, halt!
Hoorah!
Oh brother.
Lexus of Tucson announces the newest arrival to its crossover family, the UX Urban Explorer. With a starting MSRP of just $32,000, the UX offers numerous active safety features and Apple CarPlay as standard features. The UX has the best turning radius, highest MPG, and lowest cabin noise of any crossover in its class. Get details and see it now at Lexus of Tucson. Experience amazing. Speedway in Columbus and at the Auto Mall.
Driving means
freedom,
exploration,
fun,
pride,
flexibility,
travel, protection,
ability,
friendship,
escape,
control. Independence.
Distracted driving means
danger,
recklessness,
irresponsible,
chaos,
police,
devastation,
injury,
tears, death.
Safe driving means staying alert and staying alive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Swap Shop trains are coming, rolling down that free market track.
Sunday mornings, you can buy, sell, or trade anything lawful and moral on the Swap Shop. Let's listen.
I have the gazebo, 10 by 10. It has the netting on the sides to keep bugs out. It's in great shape, $30.
So this way somebody doesn't have to hire a gazebologist.
Yeah, there you go. 885.
Swap Shop, Sundays 10 to 11 a.m., right before Liberty Watch.
Trusted local news and talk. AM 1030 KVOI. We have our eye on business.
Hey, welcome back. I'm Steve Rivera, and this is Eye on the Ball. I'm talking with Reggie Geary, former UA basketball player. talking about a lot of different things. Tom's chiming in. Thank you, Tom. That's a great point.
Tom's got tough questions.
Great point. In fact, if you want to compare that Sean Miller era to some of the talent of Arizona's Lute and beyond, obviously very, very good, if not better, talent-wise. But they don't have a body of work to put them on the Mount Rushmore because, you know, look, Aaron Gordon, tough as heck.
Yeah.
Markkanen, Ayton. McConnell was here just for 2 years, but you know, heck, if McConnell came back and voted ran for mayor, he might win the mayor. Steve Kerr would win it. Sean might win it.
Yeah.
T.J. McConnell. I mean, have there been any more popular players? You know, they like you, Reggie, but you would lose to T.J. McConnell.
Would I? All right, T.J. He's playing well. He's a new.
But
kid.
I'm talking in terms of because they love the guy for you know.
You're gonna love anybody who comes in here and does thing in a way, you know, exciting way. He's happy to be here. Shows that passion.
Appreciation.
On the floor.
Yeah.
You know, it's not only is a great ball player, but we'll let you in.
Right.
Yeah. If you do those things, you'll ingratiate yourself, and this community will, like as Judith said, love you back. And
right.
So
right.
That's what makes it so awesome.
So
I'll never forget T.J.'s last game on
kissing the floor.
Kissed the block A on the floor. Yeah.
Right. Josh did that back in the day, too. Josh, TJ, Steve Kerr, Sean Elliott, and I might be JB, too, because he's kind of in the community. I'll run for mayor. Who's winning that race?
I am.
Oh, he's a write-in. Write-in
vote. I'm the write-in. But, no, it's great that we have so many names of guys that are thought of in this community. I think that speaks a lot for what the university's done there and what Coach Olson and Coach Miller, the kind of people they're bringing to this community.
Yeah.
I think that speaks a lot for why we feel so special here.
In fact, I'll throw some other names at you. You, Reggie Geary, Matt Muehlbach, Joe Nels, Bob Elliott. There's probably a few more that I'm going to miss, but those four, you guys are from somewhere else.
Yeah, Andy Brown,
Corey
Williams.
And Corey, mm-hmm. Exactly, good point. And you go, you're from somewhere else, and you stay. The reason you stay.
Look outside. I mean, we have beautiful weather. Mm-hmm. It's a great community. I think it's great to grow a family, and we're still close to San Diego, still close to Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. I just think
The big city feel.
Without, you know, and actually that big city feel is coming back to downtown Tucson, where you can actually, you know, you can go down there, and there's restaurants and bars and the Fox Theater, and there's things in town that you can do to kind of get that big feel. I'm real proud to be, you know, in this community, to live in Tucson. I have my family grow here, and I just think you get the best of both worlds, and you know, and the cost of living is not bad either.
And people know you or think they know you and treat you nicely.
I try to walk around with a smile on my face. And
sure, you always do. You always have a smile on your face. So what's up? What's up with you? What are you hoping to do now? We got about 6-7 minutes left. What are you trying to? Are you going to try to get back in coaching?
Yeah, you know, and I had, you know, my wife and I, and we sat down as a family, you know, about a year and a half ago, and you know, I could have stayed in Japan. I was mm-hmm. very successful over there and doing some good things. I could have stayed there another 5-10 years if I wanted to. Mm-hmm. But we made a conscious decision to come back to Tucson and see if there's some coaching opportunities out there. But we really kind of just want to cement our feet a little bit in the community, give our children an opportunity to grow up in one place for a short period of time. Because, mm-hmm. Steve, you know this, since 1996, my family and I have moved every year or every 2 years mm-hmm. through the game of basketball. Completely blessed, very fortunate for those opportunities, but at the same time, that can be hard on a family.
Sure.
So here in Tucson, looking for some opportunities to remain in Tucson. So we'll see, but we're happy to be here, and so far Tucson's been great to us.
How was it coaching here? Because you were under Lute for that maybe cup of coffee, then you almost had to take over the program with Pennell and Dunlap and yourself.
Yeah, you know, the times that I was coaching here were interesting, especially. You know, both times we had good teams. The second time, obviously, Coach Olson trying to make kind of a little bit of a comeback.
Yes.
And I felt real fortunate and blessed to be with him maybe during a tough time in the program, that he had a familiar face to look over to and that I could be helpful in that regard. Because mm-hmm. it was a difficult time.
He was dealing with some
unknown health issues at the time. We didn't know what was going on. Mm-hmm. There were some things going on around town. The team was still stacked. We still mm-hmm. had
Chase.
We had Jordan Hill. Mm-hmm. We had Nick Wise. So we still had three high-end players to go along with.
Made it to the Sweet 16.
Made it to the Sweet 16.
It's funny when people talk about, well, Arizona was down and all that, and I said, a lot of schools would love to be this down.
Yeah, right, playing Louisville in the Sweet 16 with some pretty good players.
Right, Miami that year. So still hopeful of getting back in the college ranks to coach or somewhere else? Or
we'll see. I, like I say, I'm looking to stay here in Tucson, in all honesty, unless something maybe an NBA job opens up where I can come in as a player development guy or could get on with someone's staff. Yeah. I maybe think about it. But in all honesty, I really enjoy, being here with my family. My son's up at Catalina Foothills High School playing basketball up there. My other son's in Tucson, Arizona Boys Chorus. I'm just enjoying life kind of away from the game, which has been good.
Right. No, let me tell you something. You cannot beat quality of life.
Yeah.
Whether you make a ton of money, I'm sure that's good to have. I would never know. But quality of life, you can't. There's a lot to be said for that.
No, we're in a good community.
Yeah, and you have a good wife, too. We were out the other day. She's funny. She could tell stories just like the best of them. We had a great time.
Yeah, and I got a coach's wife. I was very fortunate there.
You are. You are. Your blessings are noted. So now what? So now you kind of just hanging out, enjoying the weather. Watching some games, going to games every now and again, probably.
Coaching over at Catalina Foothills, doing some, actually just working with their JV team.
Oh, are you?
Coach Doug DeMora over there, who's the varsity head coach, does an excellent job, runs a good program. And since, my son's there, they've allowed me to come in and to work with all the groups. And that kind of gets my basketball bug out the way.
I was going to ask you, too, because we talked before you got into the show. Combat the competitor in you, because if you're a competitor, you're a competitor. Mm-hmm. How do you fix that? Is it with coaching the kids?
Hopefully, it doesn't get to a detrimental point. But I'm competitive in everything I do, so it's just part of how I am. So if I'm selling tickets to an event, I want to be the number one seller. If I'm working, at my job, I want to be the best at that. I want to be the best father. I want to be the best husband. I treat all those as competitive situations. And so there's never really a turnoff, And obviously I have my two boys that I can work with them and live through them a little bit.
Right. So maybe we only have a couple minutes, a little over 2 minutes. Maybe your favorite moment at U of A athletically or otherwise?
A lot to choose from. I was playing in New York City my senior year, in preseason NIT in the finals.
That was the Allen
Iverson game. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a great moment because that was a goal of mine going into that season. Mm-hmm. Was finally going to be the primary point guard, and people were kind of doubting us and doubting that team and doubting my ability to do that. And New York was our first goal that year that hey, we want to get to this spot and to get there and to play well.
And he was not even a factor. Well, because maybe he scored a lot of points, but Lute said he's not going to beat us by himself.
Yeah, I think the game plan going in was kind of like he's going to score. We'll make it as difficult as possible. We just got to make sure everyone else doesn't become a contributor. And I think Iverson still had 40 that night.
Yeah.
A couple other guys got held down, and then obviously the big headlines was 5-1.
Right, 5-1, and I think if I'm correct, they started the season out of the top 25. And then by that weekend, you were in the top 10.
Yeah.
I think.
No, we were. I think we were the highest 7 and had got that highest that season up till 3.
Mm-hmm.
And, that team had a lot of potential. We did some good things. We left a little bit on the table, but.
Well, yeah, JB went through his academic situation. And you still had a great run. If Dickerson hits that shot against Kansas, in the final moments, Haas doesn't have a chance to score the basket in the corner.
Yeah. No, we were right there, I think. Yeah. And we had seen that Syracuse team. That would have been the Elite Eight game.
Yeah.
We had saw them earlier in the season and kind of had a feel for them. We thought we could get them.
Yeah.
Coulda, shoulda, woulda. Right. It's still a great run.
I still believe that game helped Arizona win or beat Kansas the next year in the Sweet 16 to win the title later on.
Yeah. We like to take a little credit for 97 guys, but no, they got it done. But, yeah, those experiences, being on that stage, next year you have Miles, you have Dickerson, JT, and that Bibby.
Yeah.
And next year you know you're a national champion. Right.
Hey, Rich, thanks for coming on in. We'll do this again. I always enjoy talking to you, especially on the radio. Kind of reminisce about the good old days when we were young and thin. When I was young and thin. Hey, thanks. We've got Bob Elliott coming in the next hour. Thanks so much.